good all the time. Amen. Please be seated.
Our reading comes to us today from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our second passage comes to us from John chapter 3. Starting at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. Good morning. I am going to have you choose today. Do you want one of these? It says Mammoth Marshmallow Crispy. Or do you want one of these? Mott's Animal Fruit Chewies. Choose. Raise your hand if you want this one. Raise your hand if you want this one. Good. You did a choice. Well done. That's what a choice is. A choice is to say yes or no to something usually, or choose one kind of candy bar instead of another kind. I want to talk to you about two kinds of choices today. The first one is the kind of choices that God makes. I don't know if you know that every one of you, God chose to bring into the world. You're not an accident. Did you know that? Are you perfect?
No.
No. Are you a sinner?
Yes.
Did God still choose to bring you in the world?
Yes.
That's important to understand. He loves you so much, and he looks you over, he says, how's she going to be? What's he going to be like? I guess he'll bring even an old guy like me into the world. And that was very nice of him to do that. So one of the things that I want you to understand is that God makes choices, and he's given you what's called the free will to choose also. So instead of holding up a candy bar in each hand, I might hold up do something wrong in one hand and do it right in the other hand, and I'll look at you and say, what choice are you going to make? Because you do this every day, don't you? I will tease my sister or my brother. Or I won't tease my sister or my brother. You have a choice, don't you? You want to know how we know what choice you made? By watching you behave or not behave. Right? And that's what I want you to learn today. We have choices that we make every day. When David was only about this big, what did he choose to do? Who did he choose to fight? Goliath. Could David have run in the other direction?
Yes.
But he chose to stand and fight. And he won the battle. Every one of you are making choices every day. Sometimes it's a choice to obey mom and dad. Sometimes you're choosing to disobey mom and dad. Sometimes you choose to tell the truth, and sometimes you choose not to tell the truth. But every choice you make or that I make has an impact on our life. Do you know if David would have chosen not to fight, we'd never hear about Goliath getting defeated, would we? We'd never hear about a little boy taking down a giant and winning the battle, would we? David made the right choice. Well, in your life, there are choices for you to make. And one of the choices we're going to be talking about today in the sermon is to follow God or not to follow God. And people make that decision. Big people make it. Little people make it. And so the sermon today is about encouraging you to choose carefully. David became a hero, and he won over Goliath, because he chose well, didn't he? He chose to do what God asked him to do. Even though I would have been scared to death if it was me, David, even though he was little, he won the battle. And that's the challenge for you and me, to be careful each day who we choose to follow. Because sometimes we can choose to follow wicked people. Sometimes we can choose to follow right things. Good people, things that are beneficial. So that's what it's about today. You listen for that, all right? Big people making the right choices also, because they can make wrong ones too, can't they? Yes. And when you make a wrong choice, what's the first thing you better do? Fix it when you can, right? Say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wrong for doing that. Those kind of things. You ready? I'll get you choose whatever one you want. And my trusty hero. Thank you, sir. Ladies first. You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. You're welcome. Choices are fascinating things. And, or not. Choices are fascinating things. I wanted to start off with the fact that God chose to create the world. He didn't have to. It was a choice he made. God chose to make male and female. He didn't have to do it that way. We could have just split down the middle, like an amoeba or something else in the little bacteria world. You've seen pictures, pull apart, and you make two of us or something like that. But he didn't choose to do that. He chose to make males and females. He also chose to make us different. If you noticed, if you haven't, you're not old enough yet. But you begin to understand God chose. Then he chose to give you a choice in the sense that Adam and Eve could choose to follow, listen, obey, do what God had revealed to them, or they could choose to reject it. We know how the story went. Even though that tree was there for a period of some time, eventually they chose to partake of the tree and disobey what God had asked them, commanded them, directed them to do. Because he also told them, when you do it, the consequence is going to be death. It was very clear. They had that information all in line before they made the choices they made. And so one of the things I want to make you aware of is that God was fully aware when he created you what you were going to be like today. Nothing in your life surprised God. It isn't like, oh my goodness, did you see what Bruce did yesterday? Or if I remember Bruce when he was 10, he was this way or that way. It's not like God's surprised. My good or my evil doesn't surprise God. God's love is consistent because God knows exactly what he gets with me and he still chooses to love me. And that, again, is a choice. But your whole life also is filled with choices, and you are where you are today and you are who you are today because of some of the choices you've made. Some of the choices you made in grade school when I got reprimanded for having a fight in sixth grade. And I lost it too. That was the saddest part. And the guy was stronger and bigger than me. You understand? That was a choice I made. I didn't have to do that. But it was a consequence. Because of that choice or that situation, I ended up going from a private religious school into John Marshall, a public, large high school, junior high school, and high school. It was a byproduct of that. When God called me into the ministry, I could have chosen to say no. Instead, by the mercy of God and the grace of God, I chose to say, Mom, God wants me to become a pastor. That's what he told me. And she said, okay. So you start to understand, your individual life is filled with different decisions that you've made and that you live with on and off that we have to deal with. And it has made you who you are today. Now, the neat part is, no matter where you sit and who you are today, the mercy of God is fresh and new for you. There's nothing hidden from God's eyes, nothing you're going to have to look at and say, I know, God, you don't know about this sin or that sin because I did it with the lights off, or nobody saw us, or I thought I was alone, or any of that stupid self-talk we get into. Instead, Lord, you know me. Help me deal with my sin in my life. No matter whether I can even remember it, help me deal with the things I need to deal with so that I become and receive the fullness of who you want me to be in your name and in your kingdom. And so you begin to understand choices. That topic of choices is extremely powerful. It is life-changing. It is culture-changing. In other words, you choose soon, later on, a few weeks from now, to put certain people in office, you're going to bring consequences, either one way or the other. You may love them or you may hate them. They are going to kill more babies or they're going to kill less babies. They're going to do different things depending upon who you choose to put in office. Those are things that you understand are the consequences of the choices you... Oh, I didn't vote. That was my choice. What, you think when you don't vote, you didn't bring about the destruction of your country? You think that's an answer to the carelessness and the stupidity and the wickedness of the world around us? I just have no opinion. Good. That helps all of us. And you begin to understand choices are part of who we are, part of our everyday life. And so as we look at these texts, we've got several things going on. One of the things I want you to take you to, if you go back into the Deuteronomy text, if you would, Deuteronomy 30, I want to make you very much aware what starts in 29. This is Moses talking to his people. It's his farewell address Dudo means second. The second part, the no min means law. Second law is given. And Moses is here speaking to his people in a way that he hopes they listen to. You're going to have a lot of choices to make. You're getting to be 16, 17, 18, and suddenly your choices explode because of the way our culture says, now that you're 18, you're mature, which is totally foolish, as every one of us knows, but it's what our culture has determined. And if you're 12, you're not mature, and you have to be 16 to drive, and, 21 to this, and all the other things that we've come up with. And so you begin to understand there are choices around us that open up in an exponential way sometimes. And frequently, we don't have the discipline or the wholeness or the life inside of us to help us make wise choices. We instead choose to follow the instincts of our sinful nature. I can get away with this. No one is watching. I will take this. I will do that. I'll behave in this way. I'll manipulate this person. I'll lie to my mom or I'll lie to my dad or whatever else we come up with in the scope of life. We begin to understand how easy those choices feel. Now, the hard part is our text is going to point out that when you start making those choices, you begin a progression that eventually leads you away from God into worshiping whatever gods or purposes you deem as more important than God and His Word. And we all have them. Whatever your priority is, rich, fame, beautiful, intelligent, successful, you fill in the blank and you begin to understand the process. And so the point ultimately is, as he's making here, when you start choosing poorly, as it points out in verse 18 of chapter 29, I'm going back on you a little, Deuteronomy. No man, woman, clan, or tribe can be allowed to turn or have their heart turn away from God. Why? Because it turns the nation away. It turns the family away. It turns your child away. And so here, Moses is going, look around you. Let no one turn away from the righteousness that God has introduced to the world, from the truth, the integrity, the wisdom God brings into the world. And so as he carries this through, his next point as he goes on, as it points out, it says, many people eventually abandon God. Welcome to American culture, with diminishing numbers of Christians and certainly diminishing numbers of faithful, biblical-centered Christians. Because the challenge in front of us today is manifesting as we watch the consequences unfold around us. As we realize the wickedness of the world doesn't diminish, it increases. As our children are exposed to more immorality instead of less immorality. As they're being taught forms of immorality you and I may never have even thought existed until we were very much older, depending upon the age of who you are. And you begin to go, I didn't even know people like that lived, existed, and behaved in those way. Our children now watch it on a commercial or on the YouTube or something else that they're exposed to, including their classroom. And so we begin to understand this passage that's presented to the Jews as they come ready to go into the promised land is Moses going, I'm going to talk to you. You guys know exactly what God has told you to do. At the first part of the chapter says this. It says, I've set before you, when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart, this is chapter 30, verse 1, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore to you fortunes, and God will have compassion. I think God doesn't change that way. There's a unique relationship, and I can't take anything away from it. These are the Jews, Moses, and God, and there is something obviously extremely inspired in that. But the reality is, when God's people don't follow God's word, God's blessing can't follow. It's not complicated to see that. And it doesn't matter whether it's in the nature of my own individual life, living as a separate person, or my life in a family with 2, 4, 7, 10 other individuals, whatever the number is, I bring that garbage into my family. I bring that wickedness into my little brothers and sisters. I bring that compromise into the people that hang around me. And so when God starts talking about, get your life in line, figure it out, follow the will of God, so I can unleash and open up the gates of heaven and pour healing and life and joy and purpose into your life. While you think you're pursuing the right thing, if I asked you to put it before the Lord and said, is it the right behavior? Do you have the right motivations? Do you have the right attitude? Most of us would have zero problem recognizing its wickedness and the source of its evil. We might even identify it as full-fledged demonic. It will destroy your family. It'll destroy your mom. It'll destroy your father. It'll destroy everything about you. And you will sit there 1 or 5 or 25 years later going, how did I get to be the person I am? And the answer is one decision at a time. One decision at a time. When you decided to run instead of stand your ground, when you decided to fight rather than walk away, when you see, I can look at individual parts of my life and say, my life shifted. There was a noticeable change. It can become good or it can become evil, but it is not necessarily where I should have been or where I would have been. Now, we can say things like, you know, well, at least I'm glad who I am and I've learned all the lessons I had to learn. I go, cut off your finger so you know what that feels like. You go, well, Pastor, that's pretty stupid. So is bragging about your life full of sin. You know, I had to do those sins, right? I had to do them so I'd know what it was like to be that drunk. I didn't do those sins so I would know what it was like to cheat on the person I was dating or hanging around with. I had to do that so then I would understand the pressure of the. And I go, like I said, cut off your hand so you find out what it's like to have only one hand. And you all go, well, but we would never do that. That's so stupid. It is stupid. And yet at the same time, we live like that. The challenge of our text is decide. Make a decision, not just one moment of decision, but decide who you're going to follow. Walk with that decision in your heart. Demonstrate it. Let it pour out of your life so that it impacts on how you go to work, how you hang with your family, how you raise your children, how you speak to your husband or your wife. All those things are part of the decisions that are being led to here. And so we've got this unbelievably significant example that we learn from now the text in Deuteronomy 30:15. First point he makes is, I give you freedom to choose. It shouldn't be complicated. God gives you freedom. You can go home and use drugs today. You can go home and curse and swear at your wife or husband. You can go home and lie, cheat, or steal from your brother, sister, mom, or dad. All of that, your freedom. You've always had that freedom. It's part of the freedom God wanted to give to you to make you an individual, a human being with self-motivations and everything else. But he didn't just leave you out there. He told you what the right decision was. He told you, don't go to the left, go to the right. Stay on the correct path and don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Stay where you need to stay. But he did give you the right to choose. Choose this day, starts this text off, almost like Elijah. Choose this day if you will, who you will serve. If God, God. If Baal, then serve Baal. And we see that and we go, how could they be so stupid? How could they be so wicked? Take it down to the little thing. How could you be so stupid as to fight in the middle of a classroom in front of everybody? With a guy that's bigger, that whooped me. You understand? I was stupid. I was full of self. I was jealous. I was bitter. I don't even remember all the feelings that triggered it or motivated it. But you begin to understand life is filled with coughs and decisions. Decisions. And so here's God going, You want life? Do you want death? Well, what do you mean, God? Some of you are moving down a path toward life. Some of you may be moving down a path toward death. I've seen them both in my life, and I've seen and experienced times when, if you would have asked me, I was moving down a path toward death, not a path toward life. I can tell you the difference now. I was naive enough not to think it applied to me when I'm 18, 20, so many years old, living the way I want to live and doing the things I thought I wanted to do. But in one sense, none of that really ever changes. There's a part of me or a part of you that you recognize. I reject God. I turn from God. I walk in the other direction, and I'm leaving God out of my life. I'm not letting him change or impact that point. Point that Paul made, or the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, makes here a little further on. He goes, I have three things I want you to do. I want you to love God. I want you to walk in his statutes, walk in his way, walk in his commandments, and keep his statutes, verdicts, guard them. When you don't do it for your family's going to pay a price. When you don't do it for yourself, you're going to pay a price. When you don't do it in your church, when you don't do it in your country, when you don't bring justice where justice deserves to be, where you don't involve yourself, where someone like you needs to be involved to stand the ground, to make the statement and protect the children or the person or the individual improperly charged, all the things begin to fall apart. And that's the point that he begins to make. He says, if you do that, then the blessings come. Apologize to you today. Then the blessings come. You will increase. What you have will increase. Your efforts will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. And they're blessed, in one sense, through your obedience. They're blessed because you're not the same person, because you chose to follow where God said for you to follow, not where your flesh wanted you to follow. And in that moment, your family doesn't get torn apart. In that moment, you experience something totally different in terms of opportunity. You choose one job over another. You choose one girl or boyfriend over another. You hang with one group instead of another group. You make those choices, and in those choices, your life is either blessed or challenged or, in worst cases, cursed, because you're walking in a place that you should have never been walking. But he points this out a little further on. Make sure you don't turn away. And you can be sitting in church turning away. That isn't something you have to go out there. You can turn away. I don't like what God has to say about that. Or I don't like the way pastor said it. Or however you want to turn away from a thing. You can hear something. It touches your brain. You know God's Spirit's talking to you. I'm talking to you today. You got this bitterness. You got this hurt. You got this anger. And I'm talking to you today. And you go, no, you're not. Leave me alone. And you move forward, because like the one text said back in 30, 29, it said, I can choose to live like this and there's no consequence to pay. And I go, it's fascinating that the very stupidity and arrogance that I have in my life is listed out in the stupidity and arrogance of the Jewish people in their relationship with God. How can I be that stupid to think I can continue to do evil and there will never be a price to pay? I can continue. What did the alcoholic say? When did you become an alcoholic? When did it start? With my first drink. When did you become a drug addict? With my first abuse of drugs. It isn't all that complicated. And when you get honest enough to examine your life, the purpose of it is not God so I can break you in pieces, stomp you into the ground, and humiliate you. The purpose is I've come to heal, restore, give grace, and make new. But you're choosing to hurt. Cut off your fingers so you can experience, cut off your hand so you can experience what it's like to go through life with only one hand. And I go, can we be that stupid? And the answer comes back, yes. I am smarter than God is the root problem of that whole thing. So when it goes on, they have that sequence. You turn away, You stop listening and you begin to worship the things you want. Figure out how easy that is to do that. I can come to church and not listen. Did it. Anyone else ever do it? I can do it so easily. Certain ages, I could just be distracted by just about anything. The person sitting in front of me, the foxes on the lady's shoulders in front of me that were staring at me, that I was convinced were going to move at any moment and bite my fingers. You know, I go, I could spend hours doing that stuff. Why? Because I didn't want to listen. I didn't want God to talk to me. I didn't want to hear it because I might have to deal or change with something in my life. And I go, that's the challenge. He says, listen, it's as simple as you turn away, you stop hearing, you stop listening, and suddenly you're busy worshiping the gods of your own heart and your own life. Then he poses on, turns on this, and Moses goes on, he says, if this goes on with any of you, I will oppose you personally. I stand before God and say, then curses on you. So you know Moses, the leader, is calling down the judgment of God. If you're walking around thinking and behaving like that, then may God curse you and deal with you because of your wickedness. Because I am on God's side, I'm not on your side. And he goes from there and he points it out. I will oppose you, and you yourself will be destroyed. The passage goes on to say, this is where you're going. This is the end. This is how you continue to move. That's why interventions are done. That's why hope to bring someone from alcoholism out of it, or drug addiction out of it, or some of the many other foolishnesses and wickedness, some of which are bigger, like that we can say out loud, and other which are just as subtle with the wickedness that can be small bits of wickedness every day in my own heart or attitude, in the way I act, behave, or treat people. God goes on from there and he says this, or Moses goes on, he says, I call on heaven and earth to testify and bear witness. I'm putting before you life or death. That's how serious the decision is. Some decision are which candy bar do you want? Some decision of which car you want to buy? Some decision is where you want to live. Some decisions are a little more powerful, like should we leave where we live in Florida and go farther north to escape, or trust that the house will still be there after the hurricane? But nothing is as life and death as the decisions you make when you choose not to hear and follow where God is leading you. And finally, he says this, life or death, blessing or cursing, choose life. For you and for your children. That's how powerful that decision is. I don't think Eve or Adam considered the fact that they were bringing consequences into the entire world of their children and their children's children. Remember when Cain was born to Eve, she was convinced Cain was the promised one. A boy child will be born to a woman, and that he will save his people from their sins. That first promise found there in chapter 3 of Genesis, and starts to what Eve thinks is a manifestation of it in chapter 4. Oh, look, I've got a boy child. This is so cool. This is the promise, the Messiah. And what do they get? They get a manifestation of their bad decisions. They get a manifestation of the wickedness of their own lives in the destruction as one son kills the other. And then they have to live with that. And so you begin to understand when Moses is writing this, he's writing, I'm calling on you. Guard yourselves. Protect your families. Guard your children and your children's children. And it's important to understand, it's not just the children that we can see right now. It's the children that will one day come from you or from your children. This is a guarding that takes place across generations. This is a guarding that Moses saw something and is trying to reveal to them. And then it finally says this, so that you may do three things. Love God, obey God, and cling to God. The characteristics of a mature Christian. Love God, obey God, and cling to Him. That's the manifestation Moses is looking for. Choose life. The same thing as we go forward today, as we stand or whatever, when we're talking about going out there on Blue Mountain today. You stand for life. You stand for the unborn. You stand for the precious ones. But you also stand with Christ. And here's the warning and the blessing. I will bless you. And if you understand, that's the way God begins to work. So under these circumstances, God's point, very simple through Moses, follow God, stay close to him, and the fullness of all God wants to bless you with will be a part of your life. Pray with me. Lord, your word continues to be so faithful, whether it's Old Testament or New. It's filled with both mercy, grace, encouragement, blessing, tenderness, warning, truth, integrity, judgment, verdicts, conclusions, things that are designed to bring people to you, to bring them away from the things that destroy their life and their walk with you. So I thank you today for your faithfulness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the choices that you've carried me through, some good, many wicked. And in the middle of it, Lord, you still choose to love a man like me, to love people like us, to love Lamb of God. Come and bless us with that kind of attitude, heart, and spirit. We pray all these things in your name, Lord. God's people say, amen.